Good morning. Today I'll be reading Psalms 117, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Exalt him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
You please stand and join us.
Many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark now the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side. Those wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight. But downward bent his wandering eye, and misery so bright. From him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through him give, from yonder glorious throne. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for those has died for me. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. who the sun sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
I am who you say I am.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am. Child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free. Child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes.
Thousand reasons for my
His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name.
With my soul, it is well.
through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well with me.
Morning. Food for thought. Proverbs 18, verse 20 states, "Words satisfy the soul as food satisfies the stomach. The right words of a person's lips bring satisfaction." Food, a concept that can be interpreted in many ways. I assume that most of you woke up this morning and consumed some sort of food. You may have even said a prayer before you consumed the food. But did you say that prayer with a conscious or unconscious mentality? As human beings, we are hungry creatures, and for some of us, this is a feeling that never seems to end, especially for teenagers. We are creatures of constant thirst and hunger. For many of us, we supplement food in order to attempt to satiate this feeling. Nowadays, however, food has become a blatant form of idolatry. At one point or another, we have fallen into one or more of the following categories: the stress eater, the emotional eater, the unconscious eater, the frugal eater, or the stealth eater. These groupings of food eatings represent the core idea of food as idolatry. Too often in life, we fill our emptiness with food. Simply put, we strive to satisfy, serve, and love our own stomachs. Even today, for many, Thanksgiving is a holiday solely characterized by food, not Thanksgiving itself. Nonetheless, food still plays an important role in the biblical scheme of things. Through food, we can choose to express longing or faithfulness or disobedience. It is clearly evident how we can express our disobedience through food, but how can one express longing or one's faithfulness through the concept of food? Psalms 119, verses 1 through 2 states, "I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to the mouth." The second portion of this verse is where we can begin to see the pieces of the puzzle come together. As fellow believers in Christ, we should adapt a life of Eucharistic eating. Simply put, a Eucharistic mindset with regards to food reflects the true nature of what food was originally meant to be, a gift to be enjoyed, and specifically reflect the awestruck, steadfast, and majestic character of the Lord. With this in mind, I can conclude with two challenges. Firstly, during this time, we ought to adapt a Eucharistic mindset on communion, putting aside everything else and focusing on what these emblems of bread and juice represent, a means in which ultimate redemption occurred. Second, we ought to take up a mindset of thanksgiving, remembering what the Lord has done, will do, and will continue to do in the time to come. Let us thank the Lord for his sustenance rather than our own substance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us to gather here, and we thank you just for the emblems that these represent. God, we thank you for your sacrifice, and we ask that during this time we would set aside everything else that's going on and take up a Eucharistic mindset of thanksgiving and remembrance. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Do I show in the way that I walk in my life the love that you've given to me? My heart's desires to be like you in all that I do, all I am. They see Jesus in me. Do they recognize your face? Do I communicate your love and your grace? Do I reflect who you are? Jesus in me. Well, it's amazing that you'd ever use me, but use me the way you will. Help me to hold out a heart of compassion and grace, a heart that your Spirit fills. May I show forgiveness and mercy the same way you've shown it to me. Do they see Jesus in me? Do they recognize your face? Do I communicate your love and your grace? Do I reflect who you are in the way I choose to be? Do they see Jesus in me? I want to show all the world that you are the reason I live and breathe. So you'll be the one that they see when they see me. Do they see Jesus in me? Do they recognize your face? Do I communicate your love and your grace? Do I reflect who you are in the way I choose to be? Oh, do they see Jesus? Jesus in me.
Thank you, Mary. Kids are welcome to go downstairs if they want to junior church with Kendra. Mary's song goes, perfectly with what I'd like to preach this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read a story out of Acts chapter 3. We'll start in chapter 1. Acts chapter 3 takes place right after the Holy Spirit has come and they had the day of Pentecost. Peter has just preached this big sermon to a great crowd of people. The church that Jesus set up before he ascended into heaven is firmly started. We see the fellowship of believers are doing some incredible things. And then one day, Peter and John, two of Jesus' disciples, go to the temple to pray. And they have this encounter with a crippled man at the temple. And I'd like to read the story real quick. We're going to read verses 1 through 16 here. And then I'd like to talk about how Peter and John made a difference in somebody's life and how Jesus Christ has called each and every one of us to make a difference in somebody else's life. Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." Question I want to ask this morning is, are Christianity in America a failure? And that's a big word. It seems that what many of us today call Christianity is failing because while addressing the proper way to live, emphasizing church attendance and tithing, we have failed to offer people something that touches their heart to the core. Something that stirs their soul and causes a rise in the sense of morality. We really have this calling in America to have a Christianity that encourages people to see themselves for who they are and what they become, what they can become with the help of Jesus Christ. So how do we go about touching the lives and hearts of other people? The people that God puts in our lives each and every day. The people whose lives are empty and in need of encouragement. People who, though they might not know it, they need their hearts stirred and touched by Jesus. People who are lame spiritually and are grasping for strength to stand in a very hardened and unforgiving world that we live in today. People who are searching for meaning and purpose, but yet cannot find it in their everyday living. How do we reach these people? And I think the story of Peter and John is a wonderful example of when Jesus said, "Go and make disciples." This is how you're going to reach people. And Paul and, Peter and John did a wonderful way of touching this man's life. First and foremost, if you look at the first three verses of chapter 3 there, we have to see the need. We have to see the need. Our eyes, our spiritual eyes, have to see the need. Peter and John saw the need. They saw the need, first and foremost, for prayer. Why were they going to the temple to pray? Why did they need the temple at all? At this point, the veil in the temple courts had been split in two. Approaching the throne of God was now accessible to all mankind. So why did they need to go to the temple to pray? You see, this was a transition stage for the early church in Acts. Most of the Christians, including Peter and John, were Jews, and it was part of their custom to go to the temple every day to pray around 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Peter and John did not see Christianity as a new religion from Judaism. They saw Jesus as a fulfillment of the law. Jesus himself said that he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So Peter and John realized that their need to pray and communicate with God was of great importance. If we're going to have an impact on the lives of others, then we better start praying. And not just praying, but praying earnestly every day for the people around us. Peter and John saw the need for prayer, but they also saw the need for compassion. That's something we don't see a whole lot today in our world. Talk about God setting apart his people, setting aside his people to be holy. This is the big one. We live in a world that doesn't have a whole lot of compassion for others. It's all about me. Peter and John saw the need for compassion. Here was a crippled 40-year-old man that had never walked. There was no SSI or disability payments in that day. All he could do was sit at the gate called Beautiful and beg, literally beg for loose change, hoping that somebody would have compassion on him. This gate that was called Beautiful was Corinthian bronze, overlaid in gold, silver, and precious jewels. I find that, what a paradox is that? What a contradiction we see right here. Things have not changed a whole lot. We still, as churches, have a tendency to spend more on our building than we do on missions and helping the needy. I'm talking as a whole in America. Peter and John saw the need for compassion. There were thousands of people, literally thousands of people at the temple. Why did Peter and John, why were these two the men that saw this man, noticed this crippled man? They took notice of the man because that's what the Spirit of Christ does for us. When we get serious about giving Christ living room in our hearts. Remember last Sunday we talked about cleaning our hearts for Christ. This is the kind of stuff that happens when Christ is living and breathing in us. We start to notice people for who they are, not just for their physical impairments, but what they need from Jesus. They took notice of this man because that's what Christ took notice of. If when he walked the earth, he took care of hurting people. We do not see the same way as we used to when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. When Jesus is living in us, we will gain compassion for people and the situation that they are struggling with. It will no longer be about us, but about others daily. We don't need to worry about us. God's got that covered. I'm not saying go to work. Go to work. Take care of what you need to take care of. But God's going to take care of the details. He's called us to pay attention to others. Consider others better than ourselves. So the question this morning is, do we see the need? If we're going to reach people's lives, If we're going to touch people's lives in the name of Jesus, do we see the need in their life? When you look at the people in your community or the people you work with, do you see the needs that they have every day? Or are you consumed with your own world, that helping others is the last thing on your mind? And that happens. It happens to all of us. Life situations happen and we're so consumed on me and what I'm worried about with me and my immediate family. We have to see the needs of people around us if we're going to even begin to touch their lives in the name of Jesus. As we go down in the text in verses 4 through 6, Peter and John remind us that we have to have faith. If we're going to touch the lives of people, if we're going to make a difference in people's lives, Peter and John had faith. They had faith that the treasures of this life were temporary. We need to be reminded of that regularly. All the treasures here of life are temporary. Peter even says, "Silver and gold I do not have." They were not looking to get rich. Peter and John were not traveling. We're not praying. They were not ministering to get rich. Peter and John were fishing partners, and they had what appeared to be a good business. After Jesus' death, Peter even resorted back to his old business, but then the Lord told him to go and feed his sheep. And then Peter got serious about his calling. If they did have any material possessions left, it was very clear in Scripture that they shared it with the rest of their brothers and sisters in Christ. But both of them left all that they had to follow Jesus. They had complete faith in Him and His mission and His purpose for their lives. Peter and John had faith that the treasures of this life were temporary and that by faith they were laying up treasures in heaven. And they also had faith that Jesus could help a lame man, a crippled man. They had faith that Christ's Spirit would lead them and go before them to do the work that He called them to do. I hope you do that on a daily basis. Wherever you go, ask God to go before you. Ask Jesus Christ, ask the Holy Spirit to go before you and prepare people's hearts to hear or see what Jesus is going to do through you. If you have an opportunity to speak, if you have an opportunity just to share or to love or to give, have faith that Jesus is going to go before you. And it's He that changes people's lives. He just chooses to do it through us. They had faith that God wanted to work in this man's life. Here we are reading and talking about it 2,000 years later. Jesus wanted to do a big thing in this man's life, and He did it through Peter and John. So where is our faith today? That's a huge question to ask ourselves. Where is our faith today? We have trusted Christ as our Savior. But where is our faith that if we put Him first, not our jobs, not our families, and not ourselves, our faith that He will supply all of our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. I love Philippians 4:19. It says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Did you hear that? His riches. His riches. His riches. Praise be to God that He shares what's His. Everything that we have is His. And He demands us to use it for His glory and for His honor in making a difference in people's lives. If we are going to make a difference in the lives of others, we have to see the need and we have to have faith that God is going to do what He's promised He's going to do. We also have to believe, or we have to expect, a miracle. Verses 7 through 9 in our story here. When Peter, but taking him by the right hand, Peter helps him up and we see a miracle take place. Peter and John absolutely expected a miracle. No doubt in their minds. Peter knew before he offered his hand to the crippled man that Jesus was going to heal him. Peter did not say, I hope that Jesus can heal you. He didn't say, maybe Jesus will heal you today. Peter said, rise up and walk. He said it with authority. With the power of the name of Jesus, he said, stand up and walk. He knew Jesus was in the healing business. He knew Jesus was in the miracle business. And Scripture tells us, I can do nothing. I cannot do anything without Christ. But with Christ, I can do all things. They believed that. They believed in the miraculous power of the name of Jesus. The Scripture says, it says all things. It does not say some things. It says all things. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. That word all is a huge word. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now don't get me wrong. I don't want you to think that I'm a faith healer. I have no doubt that I can heal. I have no doubt that I may or may not be able to heal a crippled man. I'm not saying I have that gift. I'm not saying that all of you do. I'm claiming that I can heal a deaf man, a mentally unstable person, all the people that Jesus healed and the apostles healed. But let me tell you, I do believe that Christ wants us to expect him to do miracles in people's lives. Whenever you reach out, whenever you have compassion, whenever you pray for somebody, we have been called with all of our hearts to believe that God will do something huge. It may not be immediately. It may take a little bit to get there. But God is in the business of doing miracles. Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him who is able to do even more than we can imagine. Don't ever put God in a little box. Expect big things. Expect huge things when you call on the power of Jesus. So there is a power that works in us that can accomplish the absolute impossible. When the world says that cannot happen, when the world says that family can't be fixed, that community can't be fixed, that marriage can't be fixed, that finance situation can't be fixed, that whatever life situation, when the world says that can't be fixed, they dug their own hole and they're gonna die in that hole. Oh, expect that Jesus can do something great. Expect a miracle from Jesus. Such a hardened sinner is melting under the convicting power of Christ, we see, because we believe in a miracle, and Christ granted it through his saving power here in our story this morning. We see financial needs being met in ways that we can't even understand or explain. That happens to me all the time. When you just give everything to Jesus, he does things. I'm not saying come to Jesus and you'll be rich. That's not what I'm saying. But he takes care of your daily needs. If we expect a miracle, then we will receive a miracle. If you do not expect one, then I know for sure you're not going to receive one. Pretty impossible to receive any kind of miracle if you're not even thinking it's possible. Folks, we need to see the need. We have to have faith. And when we approach people, we have to believe and expect. Expect a miracle. Because everything Jesus does goes against the ways of this world. It's miraculous what he does. It's miraculous how he changes hearts. It's miraculous how he speaks to people. You're going to find it miraculous how the words that come out of your mouth that he wants you to speak to an individual that you're having compassion on. You'll say, where did that come from? It came from Jesus. So we have to see the need. We have to have faith. We have to expect a miracle. And number four, in verses 10 through 11 there, when Peter and John are dealing with this man and helping this man, we have to cause excitement. Are you excited about what Jesus is doing? Do people around you see the excitement in your life of what Jesus is doing with you, for you, and what he's doing around you? Peter and John caused excitement in their community. They caused excitement in the church. They caused excitement and wonder there in the temple. They didn't manufacture it. They did not attend a seminar on how to motivate and get people excited. There was no conventions back then on how to be an effective disciple. They did not have a formal church plan. They did not have an entertainment committee. They didn't try to entertain anybody in their community. They simply did what Jesus wanted them to do, and that within itself caused excitement. Simply doing and preaching what Jesus preached, having compassion on people and making a difference in people's lives, caused excitement in the community. They simply did what Jesus wanted them to. When people coming to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus truly get it, they get excited. Think about the first day you truly understood what Jesus did for you. How excited were you when you knew that death didn't have to be the answer for you, for your sin problem? The day you finally got it, you finally realized that your God, your Creator, your lover of your life, loved you enough to die for you and overcome the power of death for you. How excited were you about that? Do you show that excitement every single day? And is that excitement stirring up around you wherever you go? If you truly believe it, if you truly believe it and you truly live it, others are going to be in wonder and are going to ask about what is happening in your life. Why are you so joyful when you shouldn't be joyful because of your life circumstance? Why do you trust a God you cannot see? Why do you have faith in people in your church who are imperfect people to do things with you? The only excitement that we need to create here at church is the excitement of Jesus becoming real in our lives and accomplishing miracles through his power. We see miracles every day if you just pay attention and if you open your spiritual eyes. Jesus is performing miracles every day. Are we excited about that? The very fact that he put the sun in the sky today, I know it's hard to see. I know it's hard to see because of the rain and stuff this morning, but there's a sun up there. You're breathing living air. The very fact that you're living today is miraculous. All the things it takes to keep your body going is miraculous. Jesus said that if he be lifted up, he would draw all people to him. That's a huge promise. If you would simply just lift up the name of Jesus in your daily living, people are going to be drawn to him. When the word of God comes out of your mouth in life situations, people are going to be drawn to that. There's power in the word of God. I want to encourage each and every one of us to get excited about him and what he's doing in our lives and see if that excitement doesn't become contagious in your home, in your church, in the community you live in, and in your workplace. We have to see the need. We have to have faith. We have to expect a miracle. We most certainly have to cause excitement. But last and most, we have to give credit to Jesus. I love verses 12 through 16 here. Peter doesn't brag about himself. He doesn't. Man, if I stood and told a man who's never walked for 40 years, hey, stand up and walk, and they walk, stand up in front of me, it'd be hard not to say, whoa, Joel, good job, Joel. Wow. Peter and John gave all credit to Jesus. You know when authentic miracles happen because the name of Jesus Christ is lifted up. Peter said that it was not within their power to do this. Peter was powerless. It was the power of Jesus living in him that miraculously made this man walk. They were simple fishermen Peter and John were simple fishermen that Jesus had called to love people and to make a difference in people's lives. They were simply men who were filled with the Spirit of Jesus. They were simple men who saw the need, who had faith, and who expected a miracle. And verse 16 in our text this morning says, I want to read the New Living Translation for this verse. I just love the way it reads. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. But faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. It is Jesus and Jesus alone who heals people. It is him who deserves all the glory and all the credit whenever anything is accomplished in his name. There are many who are crippled. There are many who are deaf. There are many who are diseased spiritually this morning, all over the world, especially in our country. Many who may not know that they're even hurting. They're crying out for healing. If they are without Jesus, their spirit is crying out, whether they want to admit it or not. Are we going to make a difference? If so, we need to pray that Jesus would fill us with his power today, so we would be more conscientious of the needs of others. And we need to pray that we would have the faith that we need to have to expect miracles every single day. So the question is, where are you this morning? Are you one that is crippled? Are you one this morning that needs a healing touch from Jesus? I'm talking spiritually. I hope a lot of you aren't there. I hope you've already experienced the powerful healing of Jesus and you're walking and talking with him daily. But maybe you are following Christ from a distance and you're not making a difference in the world every day. You're just kind of watching what Jesus is doing and not really getting involved. You have been called by God to make a difference in people's lives because he made a huge difference in your life. Or maybe you're just existing, gliding through life with no thoughts of others. That needs to change. If for any of those reasons, you need to call on the name of Jesus this morning to make big changes in your life so that you may make a difference in the lives of others, we need to call on his name today. You can do that during our invitation song this morning. You can find your quiet place at home. Get on your spiritual knees and ask God to do that for you. If you're enjoying a wonderful walk with God today, you need to give him all praise and honor and ask him to continue to work in your life, continue to show you people who are hurting, who are dying without his loving grace. And ask him to make a difference in people's lives through you. That's the invitation this morning. Let's stand and sing together.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet. Oh, we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey.